This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. I love this a lot. I love stopping in the middle of all the conversation we have, looking at life, trying to understand, navigate the complexity of so many of the issues, the threats from certain rising ideologies, shedding a moral light on so many of those. It's just to stop and to do the one thing that will bring about the greatest change, and that's pray. I believe so deeply, so adamantly, so completely in the power of prayer. I've seen the fruit of it, and I'm telling you, you will too. Let's pray together. I want to pray for a couple quick intentions here that have come in. Received a letter, and this person says, could you please pray for the safe return of Cesar Salazar and his cousin Jorge Rodriguez? They were kidnapped while in Mexico. Please also include the family in your prayers. They're very distraught. Jesus, I trust in you. The person signs off, and we will certainly pray for Jorge and for Cesar. This chaplet, I say it a lot, it has a charism for the kidnapped. It's not the first intention I've had for people being kidnapped. And quite often we pray it, and in very short order, we find that person reunited with their family. So whether they're lost or missing or kidnapped, God seems to hear this prayer. And Heavenly Father, we ask you really to respond to our united prayer for these separated families. Another person wrote and said, hey, I'm seeking prayers for my unborn baby, that he'll have a healthy heart and that he grows at the rate expected. He was unusually small. He's catching up. I'm told that I'm anemic and that I have pre-gestational diabetes, so I'm asking prayers for good health. I'm only 35 years of age. As of yesterday, this is my first child, and I'm high risk. Please pray, and thank you. And thank everyone for their prayers. So we will pray for this new 35-year-old mother, that beautiful baby. Another person writes, Drew, I'm asking for prayers for our godson, Patrick, who took his life yesterday. He was a very young man, only 31, and he left behind his wife, his children, and family. I'm asking that you pray for him and his wife and children, pray for his family, and pray in particular for those who face suicidal thoughts. Also pray for godparents. Thank you and God bless. And I'm so grateful for this email, for this person who wrote, this is the godfather, godmother, to Patrick. And Lord, I just pray against anyone having suicidal ideations, that you hold back their hand, that in your mercy, you allow them to know that life is worth living. And I pray for those who've gone before us and for those who suffer as well, those who've lost loved ones by suicide. I ask God will be merciful and bring healing to them. One final email here. I live in Colorado. I spend summers in Minnesota. I listen to you recite the chaplet at the end of my dock on high volume for all my neighbors to hear. Big smiley face. Sent me a beautiful picture, too. I plan to do the same today. Would you please offer the following intentions? I have a 25-year-old daughter, Maddie, who's a single mom to a 7-year-old little girl, Ellie, and she's pregnant. She was pregnant at 18 and withstood tremendous pressure from the father and his family to have an abortion. Praise God, she has finished college, is working as a nurse. She's raising her beautiful daughter in the faith. They live with me and my husband, and she's been looking for a home to buy for the last 7 months. The housing market in Denver is ridiculous. It's nearly impossible for a single person, let alone a single parent, to be able to afford a home. So our prayer is meant that she finds a home, and God will provide it and everything to fall in place. And we'll pray for that too. I want to pray for all looking for housing. But I love that particular intention too, because if you find yourself right now in a crisis pregnancy, if you find yourself in a situation that you think will ruin your life or there's no way out, I guarantee you that child is going to be the biggest, greatest, most abundant blessing in your life. You'll get through it. Time goes quickly, and you will be delighted you chose life for that child. So I want to pray for all mothers right now contemplating abortion. I do want to pray for those too who are seeking housing, who are trying to sell their homes, trying to find new locations to live, and who are dealing with credit issues and so much more. Well, let's pray right now. I'll share some of these answered prayers tomorrow, and there's some great ones. If you want to call, feel free to do that. If you can't get through, Twitter is at Drew Mariani Show, and you can send your petition there, and Jake will go ahead and share some of those in the chaplet today. And that's at Drew Mariani Show. And of course, you can always email us, Drew@relevantradio.com. Jim is joining me today. He is our midday producer, And it's always good to have him. Jim, before we start the chapel, let me invite you in to share anything you may ask for prayers. I know you're looking for housing, and I've been praying for you, too. So anything you want to pray for?
Thanks, Drew. Yeah, it's great to be here with you, as always. And I'd like to pray for my wife, that she's completely healed of cancer, and for the holy souls in purgatory.
All right. And I've been praying for your wife. I love your prayer. And you didn't pray for yourself. And I'll just ask everyone who's listening, say an extra prayer for Jim. I spoke to him on my way out of the studio last night. He says, Drew, can you pray for me? He's looking for some housing. And it's been really difficult, just like this last caller. So let's really pray for that intention today on this chaplet in particular as well. I'm going to pray for those suffering hair loss and other autoimmune diseases, too, as we'll remember Melissa. But we'll pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Araceli. She's listening in Sacramento, California. Hi, Araceli.
Hi, thank you so much. I wanted to ask for prayers for my son, Christian. He had a severe fall about 6 or 8 feet and has bleeding in his brain and a broken cranium, possibly some other injuries. And I'm just praying for a miracle that he be completely healed from this and have no consequences, either today or whenever God in his timing allows him to be healed.
Well, amen to that. And Araceli, I want you to be at peace. My heart goes out to you. My nephew, and I've shared his story before, was in a horrible car accident. He was in a convertible, and somebody T-boned him and suffered incredible head trauma. And I'll never forget the day we heard that. I prayed chaplet after chaplet after chaplet. Should have put this story in the book. And doctor said he'd never walk. He probably wouldn't talk. He'd never finish school. Head trauma is a serious issue. They call him a miracle today. And God healed him completely. He's a great job as an engineer. And I want to pray for your son right now. Pray for that young child of yours right now, 19-month-old, with a severe fall. Lord, I give you this child. You said, bring the children unto me. And I just ask you to press that child close to your merciful heart. Restore and heal and give comfort and peace to this mother. I pray for all those going through these similar situations as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we will go to Gloria listening in San Antonio, Texas. Gloria, thank you for joining us. How can we pray for you today?
Yes, I was calling on behalf of my son. And I had, I wanted to ask and see if you guys could pray for him, because he's going through, I had already called a while back asking for prayers. He's a retired military, and he's been having a lot of problems with alcohol. Yeah. And he has, this is his third offense on alcohol, that they gave him a ticket. And he's going through a lot right now. And he's desperate, you know, that he doesn't know what's going to happen. His court is July 14th. And the thing is that we can't get him to go to church. We can't, you know, I try my best, you know, to have him, to get him in to go to church. But he says, oh, well, I'm not ready to go back to church. Right. And that's the thing, you know, that really upsets me.
Gloria, let me just say this to you. I mean, two things here. One, he has a court date, right? His third offense. And that's a pretty serious situation. So we want to pray for that. And I just want you as a mother to know, I mean, you continue to plant the seeds for your son. I mean, continue to invite him to church. But pray. And I know you're doing that. The prayers of a mother are so powerful. They reach the heart of God. And just continue to pray for your son. I really believe the Lord hears these prayers. The Lord promised conversion. You know, he promised the grace of conversion reach the souls that we pray for. And it's a prayer that's always heard and answered by him. So I don't want you to fret or be distressed about, you know, your son returning to church, because I believe that he will come back. Just keep praying for that. Let's pray right now for this obstacle in front of him, this third offense. We'll pray for the healing that he might need from his addiction and whatever wounds emotionally he might have had in the military. And Lord, I just give you glory, and I give you all mothers whose children are battling addiction, who've separated themselves from you, who are away from the church. I pray for parents in particular, whose hearts are pierced by the actions of their children, who love them so deeply. I thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And one final thought for Gloria. I was actually praying last night. I took a walk and I was talking to the Lord. And I was given this, I'm not going to call it a revelation, but kind of a thought that came into my mind. You know, when we suffer as parents, as Gloria is with her wayward child, you know, as you might be with that loved one in your life, I just think God sometimes allows us to know what that's like, because God loves us infinitely. And think of how we reject him, how we hurt him, how we've strayed from him. In some respects, we can relate to God. He allows us to go through this so we can better understand how much he loves us. You know how much you love your children, how much more infinitely does God love you and love your child? Jake has been monitoring our Twitter account. And Jake, what are some of the intentions coming in there?
Drew, we need to pray for Aaron and his family. He said, hey, my father is on a ventilator right now, and the doctors are simply offering no hope. He says they need to make a critical decision about what to do. So, you know, we're praying for a miracle if it's what God wills, but ultimately we just want to pray for, you know, his father, his family, and for discernment in that situation. Zach is praying for his 10-year-old son, because he's going in for a CAT scan today. He's been coughing up blood for about a week now. He was in the ICU back in December due to COVID, so there might be a connection there. Zach, we're certainly praying for your son today. Also, Eric is asking for prayers for his sister JoJo and brother Carlos, both struggling with alcohol and drug addiction today.
All right, well, let's lift up all those intentions, and we'll add Joanne as well to that final, that third decade. Joanne, good afternoon. Thanks for listening in Portland.
Hello, Drew. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit for President Biden and President Putin for the success of their talks, and for two very dear friends that have been diagnosed recently with recurrent breast cancer, as well as a young mother of two with an aggressive new diagnosis of breast cancer. All will be starting chemotherapy, and for your colleague Jim's wife.
All right. Joanne, thank you, especially for praying for our world leaders. And Lord, I ask for peace. We ask for unity. We ask for protection, especially over this country, from degeneration, disaster, disease, war. And we just ask that just protect this nation and intercede, send the Spirit to these leaders, and we pray for the conversion of them. But we lift up cancer again and all the intentions that Joanne has brought forward, all that Jake has brought forward. And Lord, I ask that you bring good from this cancerous situation that so many are battling. I ask for miracles to take place for those who are asking for it, Lord, and I ask for great response to the treatment that those are now undergoing. So we give you this intention and all these intentions as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Debbie is praying with us there. Hi, Debbie.
Hi,
good afternoon.
So I'm praying for discernment, and this is regarding housing also. Okay. I'm the oldest of six and involved in dispersing my mom's will. The intention was for the house to be sold. Mm-hmm. And for the assets divided amongst the siblings. There's a variety of complications, which I won't go into, but we received an offer from a friend of the family for the house, which needs to go rather quickly because interest rates are supposed to be going up in August. I'm not at peace with that. At one point in time, I'd wanted to contact a friend of my dad's who was a millionaire out of town, and unsure if I should be sending that letter to him. Okay. There's some family members that are going to be significantly impacted. I just concerns long-term about the general economy, and I've been praying the surrender prayer, a very good surrender to the will of God novena, and don't know where the gift of presumption or the sin of presumption ties into all this. Basically, I'm praying for discernment and strong lead because I haven't been able to speak to anybody or connect with anyone in regard to that need, and for God to just make very clear to him what the next steps are for our family.
Let's pray for you now, Debbie. I mean, it's a tough situation being the executrix of your mother's estate. And with so many siblings, I know quite often there's complications. I want to pray now that the Spirit will enlighten your mind and convict your thoughts and allow you to make the right decisions. You'll be given the gift of prudence and wisdom in dealing with this. And for peace amongst family members. And Lord, I pray for all those who are divided over money, who are having complications with their estates, for those trying to sell properties, get mortgages, buy new homes. Lord, we give you this intention again. And I just ask that you work out, you bless these temporal intentions as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our final call comes from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Gary, good afternoon.
Good Good afternoon, Drew. I'd like to pray for myself. For I slipped and I fell in the shower, and I damaged some tendons in my ankle really bad. Wow. And I would like that I would hopefully heal without having the surgery, because the surgery will require that I be out of work for 3 months, and I'm self-employed. Wow.
All right, brother, let's pray for you right now. Lord, I give you all these impossible situations, and I lift up Gary. I pray for the healing of the body. I pray for all those having problems psychologically, emotionally, and I give you the hearts, needs, wants, and intentions of all who are praying with me. But I pray for a miracle for Gary right now. No operation, Lord. We turn to you now with our own needs as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Fundamentally, the issue about communion and politicians and abortion and all these things, we can get caught up in sort of the idea of church rules and laws and everything, but really what's underpinning this is a matter of faith. And, you know, you'd spoken a little bit earlier about Bishop Papraki talking a little bit about Canon 915 and everything else. And, you know, it's important to remember that this is not a penal law of the church that we're talking about here. Right. When the church teaches that people, particularly politicians who are, you know, regularly champion access to abortion and things like that, shouldn't be allowed to receive communion, and in fact says they are to be denied communion, it's not a question of punishing them or, you know, wagging the finger at them. It's that we as Catholics believe that the Eucharist is this, you know, source and summit of our Christian life, that it's the most important thing we have, and that taking it in a situation of manifest grave sin does you harm.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me today. I want to talk about our president. I want to talk about our bishops. I want to talk about Eucharistic coherence. As you might know, and before I even get into this, I want you to pray for the president. I was so glad that Joanne had called during the chaplet and asked us to pray for Vladimir Putin and the president when they were together. I want you to pray for our bishops. You know, Our Lady in many of her apparition sites has come over and over again, and she said very specifically, pray for your priests, for your bishops, and for your cardinals. Satan has such a tremendous enmity for these men. He can't stand them. He cannot. We need to pray that they have courage, that they have fortitude, that they have wisdom. They're able to truly shepherd and fulfill their vocation and their role. We have to pray for our world leaders. You know, we reap what we sow. And when you put into office somebody who you know is going to take the country in a direction that is anti-God, anti-life, anti-marriage, there's consequence for that. But as St. Faustina said, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to God's mercy. And let's pray that God's mercy pierces the hearts of our elected officials, whether they're in Congress or the Senate, or whether they're in the, you know, whether they're the president, whether they're on courts, wherever they might be. You know, there's always hope. There's always a brighter day. And I do believe eventually we'll get these issues right. As you might know, the U.S. bishops are meeting this week for one of their semi-annual meetings, though they're not in person. Their next in-person meeting will be in November. But big on the agenda right now, of course, is this whole issue of who can receive Holy Communion, right? Who can receive it? And ever since the start of the church being, you know, being worthy to receive communion, that's been a key aspect of the sacrament of reconciliation. And just go back to Corinthians, right? In chapter 11, St. Paul in his very first letter says this, and I'll quote it. He says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So profaning the body of the Lord, I mean, it's a very serious issue. And we should be concerned for anyone we know that's doing that. And I'm not just pointing fingers at politicians. I mean, it might be your children who are cohabitating right now. It might be you. But you know, maybe you don't take that seriously. Of course, a lot of people, including the secular world, are looking at the president, though. And I do want to talk about him. You know, there's this rancor among the bishops on this issue. And the key to all this isn't looking at whether or not Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or any other Catholic politician you want to throw into the mix who supports abortion should be receiving communion. The key is whether or not you should be receiving communion, right? Lots of Catholics go to Mass on a weekly basis, and they haven't gone to confession in a long time. And yet they receive Holy Communion. True story, my sister went to confession recently, and she says to me, she says, you know, it's been a long time since I've been to confession. Long time. Now, I was shocked because she's very prayerful, and I'm thinking, really? But no, it's been a long time before she had gone. And I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be some mortal sin in there. So we have to do a self-examination. and that's just an observation, if you will, on my part. But the communion lines generally are longer than the confession lines in a typical parish. And times for confession in a lot of places are limited to about a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes before Sunday Mass. So let's talk about it today. I want to talk about all this. You're more than welcome to join me, 888-914-9149. I'm joined right now by Father Thomas Winandy. It's great to have him here with us. He's a former professor at Oxford and Franciscan University of Steubenville, and also headed up the U.S. United States Bishop's Secretariat on Doctrine and Canonical Affairs. So nobody better to talk to than him. Father, thanks for your time today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Drew?
I'm well. It's great to talk with you. There's a term being thrown around a lot lately, and that's Eucharistic coherence. And we're going to hear much more about it, I think, in the week ahead as our bishops meet. Joe Biden, of course, is going to be discussed. Let's define some terms, just for those who are listening. How did that term originate? What does it mean? And how do we look at that in light of all that's unfolding in the church right now?
Well, I think Eucharistic coherence is, or Eucharistic integrity, as it's sometimes called as well, has to do with the fact that to participate in the Eucharist, receive communion, receive the body and blood of Jesus, carries with it a certain coherence, a certain integrity, and that to receive communion implies a whole set of truths or situations in which a person is or is not in. Let me speak first of all of sort of the basis, the primary thing that needs to be taken into account. One has to be a Catholic to participate in the Eucharist and to receive the Eucharist with integrity or coherence. To be a Catholic means that you believe what the Church teaches. You have to be in communion with the Church in order to receive Jesus in communion. And that's why the Church has always maintained that those who do not belong to the Church, even though they may be Christians, such as the Protestants, are not to receive communion because they don't believe all that the Church teaches and therefore are not in communion with the Church, and therefore, not being in communion with the Church, they should not partake of the Eucharist, because the Eucharist embodies, in a sense, the whole of Christian doctrine and the whole of Christian morals. And therefore, you need to be a living, integral part of the Church in order to receive communion at Mass. So that's the foundational principle. I have others, but that's the very important one, the most important one. It's the basis upon which everything else is founded. That to be Catholic, you believe what the Catholic Church teaches, right, with regards to doctrine and morals.
Yeah, the secular world expects that just about anyone should be able to receive the communion, you know, and go up. That's what happens in the Protestant world as well. But for us as Catholics, we can really only receive it if we're not conscious of mortal sin. We seem to see the death of the sacrament of confession today. Whatever happened there, Father, what's your take on that? Why are confession lines so short, communion lines so long, and why do people think, my sin's not that bad? I know it's a mortal sin, but, you know, God understands. I want to receive the Eucharist. What happened? How did this disconnect?
Well, I don't know exactly how it all happened. It obviously happened post-Vatican II. And I think part of the reason was, in so many ways, the Mass, the Eucharist, was sort of, in a sense, demeaned. We had so many things going on within the liturgy after Vatican II that lessened the integrity, the importance, the mystery, the transcendence of the Eucharist, and so it lost its sort of mystery and integrity. It's in a sense its profound sacramentality. You have balloon masses, clown masses, you know, yeah, all sorts of things going on, because of that, the Eucharist, in a sense, it seemed more entertainment than actually participating in the mystery of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and receiving the reality of his body and blood. And I think, you know, because of that, people did not take seriously the Eucharist. And as we've, you know, seen in, you know, a poll that came out not real long ago, where a lot of Catholics do not believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist anymore. And if Jesus is not really present in the Eucharist, well, then, in a sense, anybody can go. I mean, it's just a symbolic thing. It doesn't express the reality of Christ really being present, that the bread and wine has actually changed into the risen body and blood of Jesus, that Jesus is not truly present as he actually exists now in his risen state.
Well, my guest today, Father Tom Winandy, and we're taking a look at fidelity to the Eucharist, Eucharistic coherence. You can join us too if you want to get in at 888-914-9149. You know, I don't want to just point my finger at Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi, you know, these Democrats who boldly profess to be Catholic and love their faith, at least that's what they say, and yet they're completely diametrically opposed to what the Church teaches on so many different issues, because there's a lot of other, you know, people out there. We can look in the entertainment industry. We can look in our own families. But I do want to talk about Joe Biden, because he's bringing, I think, a lot of scandal to the Church, and he's advanced policies that are contrary to the Church teaching on life, on marriage, on sexuality. And right now we know that our bishops are, you know, addressing this issue. I mean, I think they do have a duty to address this contradiction of you know, what he does and how he behaves and ultimately what he says. And you just go back and you can look at his policies, from the executive orders he signed when he first came into office, to the Equality Act, to the Mexico City policy. I mean, I can go through a litany of these things. Help me best understand that. I mean, I'd love to get your take on the president and how he should be handled in these situations.
Well, I think, yes. I think the first thing that has to become very, very clear, which you mentioned earlier, is the whole notion of mortal sin, that some sins are so grave that they separate us from Christ, that we're no longer in communion with Jesus because of our sin. And therefore, because we're not in communion with Jesus because of our mortal sin, we should not receive him in communion. There's a disconnect between us and Jesus, and that therefore, to receive communion in the state of mortal sin is really, in a sense, committing a lie. You're pretending to be in communion with Jesus because you're receiving Jesus in communion, but in actual fact, you're not in communion with Jesus. Again, it has to do with Eucharistic integrity or coherence. It gets lost because you're, by walking up the aisle and receiving communion, you're actually committing a lie. You're saying, I'm in communion with Jesus, when in actual fact you are not. And of course, as you just mentioned, Biden or Pelosi or any Catholic who promotes abortion, euthanasia, the homosexual acts, that there's nothing wrong with sodomy, all the gender theory stuff, pretending that adultery is not an evil or fornication, all of these things are morally grave sins that separate those who hold them and promote them from Jesus, and in a real sense, it goes back to my first principle, that they no longer believe what the church teaches, and therefore, in a sense, are not in full communion with the church, and therefore should not receive Christ in the Eucharist. Again, to be in communion with, you can only be in communion with the church and with Christ if you actually believe and hold and strive to live out what the church teaches. What's needed is repentance, confession, change of heart, a firm purpose of amendment in some way. That's all missing here.
Well, let's do this, Father. Let's grab a couple calls. We have a few minutes here before I have to take a break. Barbara's in Wisconsin. Barbara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. There's a couple things. One of them is that the chalice and the paten are not veiled on the altar anymore, so there's no mystery about what's going to happen during consecration. And at consecration, our priests, a lot of them that have been at Mass with, do not hold the Eucharist any higher than their chest or the chalice, and they put it up and down so quickly, there is no time for adoration at all. And then after communion, there's no length of time for purification. It's just take a quick wipe around with the purificator. Right. That doesn't express who is on the altar, and it's our Lord. That's
Barbara. Thanks. I think it's a good point. You know, there's the integrity of the Eucharist is sometimes lost. That's a factor, but also just in terms of the big picture of what we're seeing here today as well, with so many people, they don't believe in the true presence. And maybe, Father, that's part of the reason. Maybe we've lost the reverence, the majesty, the mystery of what the Eucharist is all about. And as a result of that, we see this ripple effect all the way up to our politicians. Your thoughts very quickly.
Well, I wish the answer to this was putting a veil over the chalice and whatever, but I don't think that's going to do the trick. But you're right. The mystery has been gone, and reverence for the Eucharist, both by the priest and the laity, is very important. I think, right, you know, we have to get the transcendent mystery back, but not simply by doing little rubrics, I don't think. I'm not sure that's going to be solved.
No, I could not agree with you more. I think it's much, much bigger than that. When we come back, we'll take a few more calls. My guest today, Father Tom Winandy, and if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the Eucharist. We're taking a look at some of the real disconnect that we're seeing amongst those who are public figures. And, of course, calling you to pray for our bishops. Maybe got some big decisions to make this week. So we'll be back with more conversation right after this.
All the news and issues of the day. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
But also promoting and facilitating this passage, which I would describe as sort of an aggravating factor, which then makes them subject to Canon 915, and which says that they are not to be admitted to Holy Communion.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That was His Excellency Bishop Papraki from Rockford, Illinois. Of course, we've talked about this issue in the past. Today, taking a look at the Eucharist, Eucharistic coherence, taking a look at our politicians, and, of course, calling you to pray for our bishops across the country as they have some, they're going to be meeting, and was asked the Holy Spirit to come upon them. I voiced my concern in the past, and this is not a political thing. It's not a partisan thing. I hope people don't view it as such. This, to me, is a Catholic thing. You know, Joe Biden, I heard somebody once say, is the perfect pro-abortion politician, and yet he claims to be a devout Catholic, right? And, you know, on the 48th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision of Roe v. Wade, where the nation legalized abortion, Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, they issued a statement that supported Roe and came right out. They said, we want to codify Roe into law. They were afraid that with a conservative court, you know, we're going to see the great sacrament of abortion, the great evil, dark sacrament of abortion, somehow fall. So they want to codify it in the law. That's you know, your Catholic president. Biden repealed the Mexico City policy. And that's a policy that bars U.S. funding of, you know, foreign NGOs and to provide or promote abortion. That's tragic. You know, domestically, you know, you saw what he has done with the FDA and deregulating the abortion pill. You know, his administration moved to allow, you know, funding a domestic abortion through the Title X program. He's lifted the moratorium on federally funded research using fetal tissue derived from elective abortions. He's promoted and pushed the whole LGBT transgender agenda. He's gone ahead and issued sweeping executive orders his very first day in office, redefining sex discrimination. And the list goes on. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Foreign policy. Yeah, we just talked recently about, you know, him displaying the LGBT flag during Pride season at U.S. embassies across the country. He's supporting the Equality Act. So what do you do in a situation like that? The Vatican, he was supposed to have mass with the Holy Father. And I was so happy to see that the Holy Father decided not to have mass with Joe Biden or those who were in a company, because the optics of that would have been wrong. I don't know, you know, just it would have sent the wrong message to the world. But, you know, we need to pray for him. The Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, they issued a doctrinal note back in 2002 on participation of Catholics in political life. And this document stressed the need for Catholics to adhere to church teaching, especially on these grave issues like abortion and euthanasia. You know, and we are at a time right now where there's mass confusion. This confusion, I think, feeds this disconnect. A lot of people are seeing Joe Biden do one thing, and they think that's what the Catholic Church teaches. They're not well-formed in their faith. So what do we do? I'm joined today by Father Tom Winandy, and it's great to have him here with us today. He's actually a wonderful and very brilliant Catholic priest. He was a former professor at Oxford and Franciscan University of Steubenville and headed up the U.S. Bishop's Secretariat on Doctrine and Canonical Affairs. This is a tough issue. I don't envy our bishops. That's why I pray for them, Father. But when you see the litany of things just Joe Biden alone has done, I don't know what we do. I mean, again, it's not a partisan issue to me. It's a Catholic issue, and it is spreading scandal. And I'm concerned about his soul, and I'm concerned about the souls of others that are swept up in all this. Your thoughts? Where do we go? I mean, it's got to come to a head at some point.
Yes, I think, you know, the bishops have to stand firm on proclaiming the teaching of the church and being critical of President Biden and other political politicians who hold for abortion or euthanasia or all the gender stuff and homosexuality. They have to be critical of these stances of Catholic politicians going against them. I think that's first of all the thing that needs to be done. And the bishops have stood firm on these issues, on the abortion issue, euthanasia issue, and the gender topics. But then because these Catholics continue to claim to be Catholic and claim that they're devoted Catholics, and why are they devoted Catholics? Because they go to communion. Well, it's a sense an oxymoron. A devoted Catholic in the state of mortal sin doesn't go to communion. It's not done. It's the very act of doing it shows that you're not a devout Catholic at all. And so I think the crunch issue is, will you know, the bishops taking a strong stance on this issue, that it's not only inappropriate, but it's actually forbidden for so-called Catholics to receive communion in the situation in which these so-called Catholic politicians find themselves. And I hope they do that. As we all know, there is a coterie of bishops who want to seem to soften the thing, do not want to make it a political issue, et cetera, et cetera. But that's purely a red herring. It's the Pelosi's and the Bidens who are making it a political issue. It's the Catholic Church is just standing up to Catholic teaching. It's only a political issue because politicians are doing what is absolutely forbidden for them to do. But these bishops have sort of the soundbite. Well, we don't want to make it a political issue. Well, it's not the church that's making it a political issue. Right. It's these so-called Catholic politicians are making it a political issue. And I think the hope and I pray that the bishops stand firm on this. I think Amen. It'll take time.
Amen to that. I could not agree with you more. And let's pray for those bishops. Will is listening in Hillsboro, Oregon. Will, thank you for joining us. You're on the air with Father Tom Winandy.
Yeah, it's not that the laity are trying to say they're any better than these politicians. It's that the politicians are in the public spotlight, bringing a bad name on the church by pushing completely anti-Catholic policies.
Right.
So it's not like we're trying to make them political, and we're not even trying to say that we're better than them. It's just that they're the ones that are out there in the public spotlight giving everybody in the church a bad name.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's very arrogant on their part, really, that no one's going to tell me whether I can go to communion or not, right. Not even the church. So it's a very arrogant, and they're completely ignorant. They don't know theology. They don't know the faith.
Right.
It's purely an arrogant stupidity on their part in many, many ways.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. Great intellectual arrogance there. Jim is in Chicago. He's got a question for you, Father. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Father.
Hey. Hi.
I was just wondering, I'm a Democrat all my life. I'm 72. I go to communion. Right. I don't give it a second thought. Are you suggesting that all Democrats should stop going to Mass this Sunday and only have Republicans only up on the sign?
No, I voted for Biden.
I voted for Biden because he was a Democrat. I've always voted for Democrats, and I've always gone to Mass. So yeah. My point is, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to become a Republican. You follow me? Under any circumstances.
I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. It's not whether I agree with them. It's whether they agree with me. If a Republican is pro-abortion, I wouldn't vote for him. If a Democrat is pro-abortion, I wouldn't vote for him. I don't know why people want to say I'm a Democrat.
Father, I agree.
Because it depends on what they hold. If they hold anti-Catholic positions that I wouldn't vote for, whether they were Democrats or Republicans or whoever.
Yeah, I'm a Catholic first.
Abortion, yeah, so am I, I'm a Catholic. But abortion's been held since 1972, since I was 22 years old. I can't do anything about it.
Yes,
I'm
you
not going to. I could say it's wrong, of course.
Jim, that's a defeatist attitude. I mean, we can do something. And first of all, Father, I want to get back to the point here, too. And we'll let Jim have a final thought here, too. Ultimately, we have to prioritize so many people. Jim leads being a Democrat, regardless of the policy. They could be erecting concentration camps, and he would vote for that party because of the party. You know, we're seeing a particular party right now advancing a culture of death, and people vote for it simply because that has been the party of their lifetime. I think we need to reevaluate as citizens the priority, the hierarchy of how we process life and our faith. Faith should be the top of that pyramid. Your political spectrum should then follow thereafter, and your faith should influence your politics. Father, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. I hear my bell ringing here. My thanks to you being here. News and headlines are straight ahead. Stay with me.
My anxiety is what led me to start going to daily mass.
Gary Zimek.
Relevant Radio has been a lifeline to me. When I'm struggling, when I am anxious, I get to hear the truth. I get to be lifted up.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.